Let's pray now and ask the Lord to be with us in this service. We'll be in Joshua tonight, chapter number 20. Joshua chapter 20. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and mercy. Lord, thank you for the Bible. We would have no clue who you are and how we are to worship you and how we're to live for you without this precious book. And we thank you, Lord, for preserving it for our day, that we can have it in our language, a complete, whole Bible. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would use me tonight to speak through me to teach this important lesson in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 20 tonight. Joshua chapter 20. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. We're going to be talking tonight about the cities of refuge, the cities of refuge. And as we come back to this study now, looking at Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, we have seen Him in His personal appearances in the Old Testament. We have seen Him in prophecy that is in the Old Testament that has been fulfilled. And we have seen Him as patterns or shadows, types, figures that are in the Old Testament that point to Jesus Christ. Tonight we come back to one of those patterns. The cities of refuge are a pattern of Jesus Christ, a type of Jesus Christ. Now, they're not a perfect type of Christ, and I'll explain that near the end of the lesson, but they are a type of Christ, and you'll understand as we dig into this. But before we get started, I came across this story, and it took me back to my childhood just a little bit. I didn't have the extent of this young lad, but it segues right into our lesson, so bear with me. Yeah, have you ever gotten into a fist fight as a child? In those childhood days, did you ever have a skirmish or two between you and maybe even your best friends or your worst enemies? Growing up, you'd have to say maybe you were no exception to that rule. You got into a few fisticuffs, as they say. I recently read this story of a lad growing up in Belfast, Ireland. Tough, tough place to grow up. The story relates a day in the young adolescent's life. He was going home from school. He had stayed a little late, and he had some after-school games, and it was near tea time. Of course, we're in the United Kingdom, so it was near tea time. Give me that picture, brother. It was near tea time, and most of the other kids had been home for a while, but he had stayed behind from school. Most of the kids were out in the streets. They changed out of their uniforms. They were playing and having a good time. He was just a couple blocks from home. And a group of fellas from a rival school saw him. He's by himself, and there was five of them. They were on the opposite side of the street, and he stayed on his side of the street. As they are walking together, about 50 yards apart on either sides of the street, they begin shouting abusive names towards him. And of course, as young boys are, we don't listen to common sense. We ignore those things, and instead of walking on and moving on, we open our big mouths and we give back what we're getting. Because we don't want those that are accosting us to think we're afraid of them. And that's what this young lad was. He was terrified. He was shaking. He was so scared, but he was not going to show them he was scared of them. So he was giving it right back. Although there was five of them, a couple of them bigger than he was, the two-way abuse continued down the street. Then the next thing you know, he's hit with a stone that's been thrown by them. Now, the smart thing to do, and again, I say we're not very smart in our adolescent years, but the smart thing to do in those circumstances, of course, is to get away as quick as possible. Run for your life, basically. Again, there's five of them. and him, one of him. The problem is that we as young adolescents don't take the time to sit there and stop and say, let me rationalize this situation. What's the best thing for me to do? No, we don't think like that. Instead, we let our temper raise and our anger raise, and we pick up stones as well. And we begin, as this young lad, firing them back at the other boys. Of course, this is going to escalate. And it does. And they decide that stones are not enough, they're going to beat him. And so they charge him. Now, it's one thing being brave when you're on the side of the street. It's another thing when they're coming at you. And when your brain says, run like mad, we listen. The lad, being one who takes these messages to heart quite seriously and realizing he was in big trouble if he doesn't listen to his brain, he starts running for his life. The relief he feels when he runs around the corner and sees his home and the door open at his home. If I can just get inside, I'll be safe. He's running, he's a fast runner, and he runs into the house screaming for his mama to protect him. The boys run all the way up to the door and shout abuses, we'll be waiting for you. And of course, he is brave now and says, y'all just wait, I'm going to stay right here. This 41 Imperial Street in Belfast, Ireland is my place of safety. It's my refuge from the pursuers. You may ask what this story has to do with our study of God's Word tonight. But our encounter here with Jesus Christ in the Old Testament in Joshua 20 is found here as this chapter is talking about the places called the cities of refuge, to which people who are being pursued and whose lives were in danger could flee for safety. Let's go back to Joshua 20 now, and again, look, the Lord also spake unto Joshua. What an interesting statement. He also spake. That means that something God has saying to Joshua, he said before. And he has. He said this same statement to Moses. So it says, the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Now we have to understand the backstory here just a little bit. I won't go too deep. But the children of Israel have taken control of the land of Canaan, the promised land. They're now in control of it. Each tribe has been given their inheritance in the land. The Levites, of course, did not receive territorial land as their inheritance because their inheritance was the Lord. But God did have something for them where they could live and they're called their own. They were given cities, appointed cities. Back in over in Joshua 21 and verse 41, we see they were given 48 cities. So the Levites are giving 48 cities all over the promised land. And out of these 48 cities, six of them are special. Six of them are named cities of refuge. The purpose of these six cities, who was entitled to the safety of them, where the cities were located, and so on, are described for us in a condensed form in Joshua 20, but it's found in Deuteronomy and Exodus. More information of these also can be found in Numbers chapter 35. But in the New Testament, they're mentioned in a new light. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. This is why we apply this to a type of Jesus Christ. For any time you have, types are a very challenging study, a very careful study of the Word of God, because you can point out anything in the Word of God and say, oh, that's a type of Christ. Well, if you don't have the backing of other Scripture to back up that statement, then you should not say it's a type of Christ. But we have here in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, praise the Lord, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. This New Testament verse is speaking about the sinner fleeing to Christ for safety. There is a clear parallel being drawn between the cities of refuge and the safety they offer, and Christ and the safety He offers. That's why this is a type of Christ. Not a perfect type again, and we'll get back to that. But now as we turn to consider this subject, these cities of refuge, the first thing that we need to consider is the danger to which the manslayer was exposed to. These cities of refuge, were for those that needed to be secure and safe from the pursuer, but only if they had killed someone accidentally, not willfully, not on purpose. The Word of God is very clear about someone who kills someone on purpose. They are to be killed. They are to be executed. So to understand something about the cities of refuge, one has to first of all familiarize ourselves with the civil law that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. This relates to this issue, these cities of refuge. So when we turn to Joshua 20 and other related passages in Numbers and in Deuteronomy, we discover that the issue is being addressed here is that what happens when somebody accidentally kills another person. Notice with me in Joshua 20 again, look at verse 3. That the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Notice verse 5. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. Notice verse 9. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourn among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger until he stood before the congregation. So what we see here is that civil law is telling us there's been cities set aside, six of them, for someone who has accidentally killed another person. This civil law that God gave to Israel by Moses, through Moses, addresses every area of their daily life. And in relation to the whole area of the sanctity of human life, God's very careful here to demonstrate justness in His law, but also mercy in His law. In the case where someone deliberately murders his fellow man, he has planned it, he has orchestrated it, and he does it on purpose, God says that person shall be put to death. They shall forfeit their life. This is a Bible principle. It is a Bible principle before the law. It is a Bible principle found in the days of Noah. It is a Bible principle found in the days of Abraham. These are both days before the law was given on Mount Sinai. But we also see in the civil law given to Moses that it was there, that principle of eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If you take a life, you're going to forfeit your life. God is very careful here to draw a distinction between murder and what we today call manslaughter. The accidental killing of another human being and the unintentional killing of another individual. Exodus 21, if you turn there with me, Exodus 21 and verse 13, we're going to look just a couple verses here. Exodus 21:13, the Word of God says, "And if a man lie not in wait," he lies not in wait. That means he's not premeditating this. "But God deliver him unto his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee." God says, "I'm going to make a place for you to flee to if you've not planned someone's murder, but they are killed by your hand." Deuteronomy 19, it's another passage that talks about this. Deuteronomy 19, verse 3, "Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. And this is the case of the slayer, which shall flee thither, that he may live. Whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past." Now we're going to get an example of this from the Word of God in Deuteronomy 19:5. "As when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbor that he die, he shall flee unto one of these cities and live." An accidental death. So God is saying if the killing is accidental, the person who has taken another person's life can flee to one of these cities of refuge. Now the question must be asked, who are they fleeing from? The Bible calls them the avenger of blood. We're told that he's fleeing, he's being pursued, and he's fleeing from this avenger of blood. And who is this avenger of blood? Well, we have to realize that Israel at this time does not have a police force. So when someone was murdered, it was the responsibility of the family members of the deceased to appoint a close relative to execute justice on the person who had killed their loved one. So it's taken into the home as the justice because there is no police force at this time. Now the danger of this, and I'm sure you can see it, but the danger of this is when someone was killed accidentally, they do not have all the facts. They were not there. They were not in the heat of the moment. They were not there to witness what happened. Let me give you a situation. As we look back at Deuteronomy 19:5, let me give a real day illustration of what just was told us. Let's give the two men a name, John and Jack. John and Jack go out to cut wood. And in they're out in the forest. They have their axes. They have their chainsaws. They're ready to cut these trees down and hew them up. And they're out there working, and time passes. And more time passes. No sign of either man has come home. So John's wife tells her son, "Go and see what's keeping your father. Dinner's ready." So the son goes into the forest, and to his horror finds his dad lying in a pool of blood. An axe head has embedded into him, and he has died. What does the son think? John has killed my father. He doesn't know this, but that's what he is speculating. So he, as the relative, the one that's deceased, is going to pursue after John. He's going to pursue after him, and he's going to administer justice. So a person who had killed someone, although accidentally, was nevertheless in great danger until they reached these cities of refuge. All the while they're outside that city of refuge, the avenger of blood is after them, pursuing them, with justice and vengeance on their heart and mind. The possibility that the avenger of blood would catch them is always before their mind, and they're running and running. They're running for their life. They must reach the city of refuge. So we see the danger to which the manslayer was exposed to. And we can see in this something of an illustration of the spiritual condition of the sinner. It is one of extreme danger when we're in our sins. For the wages, the Bible teaches us, the wages of sin is death. We know what wages are. All of us have had jobs. You earn a wage for what you do. Well, the wage or what we earn for the sin that we commit against a holy God is death. And it's not just talking about physical death. It's here talking about spiritual death. Separation from God forever. That's what we earn for our sin. So we're in danger as a sinner, we're in danger of justice and judgment of God. For sin must be paid for. And so the sinner who is found outside of the place of refuge, destruction is inevitable. What about us this evening? Have we fled to Christ for safety from the avenger of blood that's after us? Are we out in the open fields of life saying, I'm okay, I don't need religion, I don't need a relationship with Christ, I don't need what you're offering me, I'm okay. Oh, if they only knew. Judgment's coming. But secondly, we notice about these cities of refuge, the refuge to which the manslayer is fleeing to. Go back to Joshua 20 and verse 2. Joshua 20 and verse 2, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. Now, there are several things that we need to draw our attention to about these cities. First of all, we should note that they were divinely appointed. Numbers 35, turn there with me. Numbers 35, we'll look at a few verses here. The Word of God tells us in Numbers chapter 35 and verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, he's getting ready to say the same thing to Moses that he's later going to say to Joshua in Joshua 20. Notice verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither which killeth any persons at unawares. It's the same thing we've read in Joshua 20. It is God who is decreeing, it is God who is commanding that a place of refuge should be set up for the manslayers. God takes the initiative and told Moses initially, and now later in Joshua 20, he establishes again with Joshua these places of refuge. The appointment of these cities of refuge were not the result of combined wisdom of the elders and the people. Rather, it was something God graciously provides. They were divinely appointed. So the refuge was a place of divine appointment. And it was only in the place of a divine appointment that safety could be guaranteed. To run to some other city was foolish, because such a city could not offer any protection from the avenger of blood like the cities of refuge. Secondly, we notice that about these cities of refuge that the manslayer is fleeing to is not only are they divinely appointed, but they're easily accessible. Turn with me now to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, notice verse 41. Then Moses severed three cities on this side Jordan towards the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thither which should kill his neighbor unawares and hated him not in times past, that seeing unto one of these cities he might live. And here it names the cities, namely Bezer in the wilderness in the plain country of the Reubenites, and Ramoth in Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan of the Manassites. And this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which God spake unto the children of Israel after they came forth out of Egypt. And on this side Jordan, in the valley over against Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel smote after they were come forth out of Egypt, they possessed the land. This is the two and a half tribes stayed on the other side of the Jordan. It's talking about these lands now, and they're going to get three cities of refuge. And they possessed his land, and the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, which were on this side Jordan towards the sun rising, from Aroer, which is by the bank of the river Arnon, even unto Mount Sion, which is Hermon, and all the plain on this side Jordan eastward, even unto the sea of the plain under the springs of Pisgah. And go back to Deuteronomy 19, and that whole chapter talks about the cities of refuge. Chapter 19 of the book of Deuteronomy. The six cities that are mentioned as cities and called cities of refuge are Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, Golan, Ramoth Gilead, and Bezer. And they're all strategically located so that from any given point in the land of Canaan, one of these cities was easily accessible, easy to get to. Three of them were located on the western side of the Jordan to serve the two and a half tribes who had settled there, and three were located on the eastern side of the Jordan to serve the rest of the nation of Israel. And in each case, either on the western side of the Jordan River or the eastern side of the Jordan River, in both cases, on the east and the west, the city of refuge, there was one in the north, one in the south, and one in the middle of the country. Same on the other side of the river. One in the north, one on the south, and one in the middle of the country. Easily accessible. So if someone found themselves in need of safety that the city of refuge afforded, they didn't have far to go. There was a refuge close by. We also learn from Deuteronomy 19:3 that roads were built leading to these cities, thus making it as easy as possible for a person to get to them. From sources, Jewish sources outside of the Bible, historical sources outside of the Bible, we learn these roads were carefully maintained. After the springtime rains, they would come and maintain the roads. And after the winter season, they would come back and prepare the roads after a bad winter, keeping the roads accessible to get to the cities of refuge. Additionally, looking at a map of the geographical location of these cities, we discover each of them were built on a hill. In other words, the city was elevated. And so anyone running towards it could see the city and be encouraged by safety was near. The cities of refuge were a place of divine appointment, but they were also easily accessible. But thirdly, in Joshua again, chapter 20, back in Joshua 20, look again at verse 9. Oh, this is special. These were the cities, verse 9, these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel. Well, we understand that. It's a Jewish inheritance. These cities belong to the Levites. So these are open to the children of Israel. All the children of Israel. None are excluded of the children of Israel. Doesn't matter what tribe you're from, it's open to you. But it goes on there in verse 9. Not only to all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. That whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. The cities of refuge were open to all. No limitations. Numbers 35, verse 15 goes a little bit further. It goes on and says in number 35, 15, these six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourn among them. That everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. The cities of refuge in the Old Testament were open to Jew and Gentile. See a correlation to the New Testament and to the work of Christ? The place of refuge was open to all. There was a wideness in God's merciful provision. None who would claim refuge were turned away if they sought it. Oh my, there are a couple other informative and suggestive things that we learn from, again, those Jewish historical sources about these cities of refuge. They were clear signs pointing the way. At every crossroads along the way to the city of refuge, think of this as you're fleeing, being pursued by this avenger of blood and you're running for your life, you don't want to have to ask for directions. You want to be able to know, I'm going to that hill and to that city, and here's the road markers lead me the way. So at every crossroads you would come to on the way to the cities of refuge, there were special signs that were set up. And it had one word on it. In Hebrew, it's M-I-K-L-A-C, Miklac. And it means refuge. That's all the sign said, refuge. It was written in huge letters, and once a year, at the same time that the roads were being repaired, the signs were checked to ensure that they were pointing in the right direction and they were clearly legible. And we also know, additionally, about the cities of refuge. Their gates were never locked. Their gates were never barred. Now, if you go to any other city in the nation of Israel during this time, they're going to be barred and they're going to be locked, and you're not going to get in at night. But the cities of refuge, the gates were never barred. They were never locked. They were always open. Unlike most other cities, for security reasons, would keep their gates firmly shut, the gates of the six cities of refuge were always open. This, of course, was to ensure that no one fleeing to them would find himself locked out. You're pursuing, being pursued in the middle of the night, you're still running, you're following these road signs saying, refuge, 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 and you know it's up on this next hill, and you're running, you get there after dark, and the gates are locked, and the pursuer catches you. You're at his discretion. You're not inside the city of refuge. You have not reached the place of safety yet. The last thing you want is for someone running for their life with someone hot on their heels with vengeance on their heart and to reach the place and find that it's not open. You can't get in until morning. How does this apply to us? Yes, this is Old Testament, but we see that verse in Hebrews that helps us understand it's a type of Christ, but not a perfect type again, but a type of Christ. And in all of these facts relating to the cities of refuge, we see grace and mercy from God. Not only did God graciously provide such a refuge for those who needed it, but He ordered things in such a way that nothing was hindering an individual from finding where they needed to go. The manslayer didn't have to ask, how do I get to a city of refuge? The cities were well known, clearly signposted, and easily seen from a distance. Nor did a man have to run too far in order to find the place of safety the Lord had provided. And when he did arrive there, he could be sure the gates would be open for him and he would not be turned away. But isn't this a beautiful Old Testament illustration of the refuge that a sinner can find in Christ? One writer has said, when we bear in mind how much the Holy Spirit, the light and shadowing forth the Lord Jesus under this Old Testament type, we see clearly and strikingly the various things said of the cities of refuge point to the Savior. Divinely appointed, easily accessible, open to all, clearly identifiable, always open. Like the city of refuge, the place of safety for the sinner is a place that has been provided by God. God has set Jesus apart to be the means of escape from the wrath of God's judgment. And just as the cities of refuge were the only place of safety for the person fleeing from the avenger of blood, so too the Lord Jesus Christ is the only place of refuge to which sinners can run for safety from the wrath of God against sin. Acts 4:12, you know it well. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And just as the place of refuge was easily accessible, always within reach, so too Christ is easily accessible to all who are genuinely seeking Him. Clear directions have been given in the gospel, pointing the way to safety. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The city of refuge was open to all, Jew and Gentile. So too with Christ, who calls all men to flee unto Him. None will be refused. John 6:37, and all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. However, as I keep saying, the cities of refuge are not a perfect picture of Jesus Christ. They are a picture of Christ, but not a perfect picture. The cities of refuge were open to all, ethnically. Speaking, it was also true that were not open to all morally. Because the cities of refuge offered no refuge for those guilty of murder that have committed, planned, acted on these planned out, premeditated murder. There was no refuge for them in the city of refuge. In a sense, they were for the protection of the innocent. You think about the cities of refuge in the Old Testament, these six cities were set apart for the innocent. They have killed someone unawares with no hate towards them before times. Not guilty of murder. And this is why I say it's not a perfect type of Christ. For in this sense, the cities of refuge, Christ is a refuge not for the innocent. None of us are innocent. Christ is a refuge for the guilty. He will welcome us in as vile, as wicked, as evil that we can be. He welcomes all that will come unto Him, and He says He will in no wise cast them out. So Jesus Christ welcomes the guilty. That's me. That's me. I'm guilty. Let me ask you, friend, have you fled to Christ for safety? For judgment's coming. It's pursuing us hot on our heels. If you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, judgment's coming. Justice for a holy God is coming. Sin must be paid for. Has there been a time when you fled to Christ and pled the blood? Ask Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. If you've done that, then you have sought refuge in Jesus Christ, and He will in no wise cast you out. But if you have not, you're being pursued. And there is no refuge for you until you come to Christ. Are you sheltering by faith within that refuge which God has graciously provided? Now, something we haven't talked about tonight is the cities of refuge. You got to stay in the city of refuge. But as soon as you step out of its gates, the avenger of blood can come after you. So you have to remain in the city of refuge, not indefinitely. There was a law that says you stay within the city of refuge and you are safe from the avenger of blood until the high priest dies. And when the high priest of Israel dies, you may go out and go free. We don't have to worry about that law. We've come to Christ for His refuge. We don't have to wait for a high priest to die. Our high priest has already given His life, and we have His refuge. If the judgment of God finds you outside of Christ, you will perish. But if it finds you in Christ, you're sheltered in the security of His redeeming work, and you cannot be harmed by the avenger of blood. Oh, may God grant that every one of us might be found in Him having fled to Christ from the coming judgment. Tonight, as we think on these cities of refuge, and we think about what the Old Testament law teaches, but we compare it to the grace, the age of grace that we live under, we realize we have something far better than the city of refuge. Yes, it's divinely appointed. Yes, it's easily accessible. Yes, it is clear directions to get to it. All we have to do is come. And then if we have come and we have accepted Christ as our Savior, are we repairing the road signs for others to find their way? Are we maintaining the roads so that others can get to Christ? Are we opening the Scriptures and showing them that clear path on how to get to Christ? How to escape the coming judgment. If you've come to Christ as your refuge, don't just rest there. There's a work to be done. For there's others, just like we were, out there waiting for someone to show them the way to security, to refuge, to peace, to salvation. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this study. A different way to look at these cities of refuge. We thank You, Lord, that they were a thing in the Old Testament. But Lord, we know we have something far better. Now what are we doing with it? Are we helping maintain the road? Are we preparing the signs? Are we pointing the way? Are we showing people who the true refuge is? Where security can be found, where eternal life can be found. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.